Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher in Richtown Fair Tire Studios. And the tradition for many, many years has been that if you win a world championship, you get to go to the White House and they rib your jib a little bit. And then ultimately, you give the sitting president a nice jersey that says, like, president on the back. And everyone tunes in. It's bigger than Star Wars. And everyone tunes in and enjoys it. But it's not the case. Things are very, very odd now. And, Rich, the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, has been disinvited by the White House. They are not allowed to go to the White House, and the White House don't want them.
Well, I think this is something that can easily be summarized as saying that the Philadelphia Eagles basically said, we're only going to send a few people, and Donald Trump did not want to be embarrassed, and so he flipped the script and called them all anti-American. So let me go ahead and just kind of take you through the events of what happened.
Wait, see, hang on a second. See, you know it's going to be a small group of people, so you're like, you know what, why don't you just come? But no, you got to put in a little dagger there.
Sure. I mean, and if you're a player, you've got to be pissed because you're getting labeled as something that you are not. As a matter of fact, okay, so let's go ahead and start from the beginning. Today was the day that the Eagles were set to show up around 3 o'clock to the White House, and there was a discussion amongst all of the players, because there are already some that said that they were not going to go, as to how they're going to handle this. At first, there was a discussion as to whether or not, as a group, they would all make the trip to D.C., and then some people would go to the White House, and then some people would go to some charities, do some charity work, maybe visit with some senators, go to the vet's hospital. But in the end, it was decided that a small group of players was to go to the White House. As a matter of fact, according to Adam Schefter, he said a large group of Eagles players had decided not to attend the White House, including most, if not all, of the black players. As a matter of fact, according to the Washington Post, they said a contingent of less than 10 players were going to show up at the White House. So I'm sure the word of that got out to Donald Trump, and he said, you're not breaking up with me, I'm breaking up with you, when he released this statement. So yesterday he said, the Philadelphia Eagles, was a statement that was put out by the White House, is that the Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. These fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. I will be there at 3 p.m. with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Corps to celebrate America. Okay, so first let's do a quick little bit of fact checking. So he says here that they disagree with their president because he insists they stand proudly for the national anthem, hand on heart. And to that, you can go back and take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles. And throughout the entire last season, their Super Bowl winning season, not one of them took a knee. Not a single one of them took a knee the entire season. So that right there is a flat out lie. And then you've got a situation where the Philadelphia mayor has spoken out and has since said, quote, the Eagles call the birthplace of our democracy home, so it's no surprise that this team embodies everything that makes our country and our city great. Their athletic accomplishments on the field led to a historic victory this year. Fans all across the country rallied behind them, underdog, blah, 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 blah.
Wait, why is Philadelphia so important? What about old Beantown?
You would think so.
Where they threw the tea in the dang water.
He said they represent the diversity of our nation, a nation which we're free to express our opinions. And then he finishes by saying, disinviting them from the White House only proves that our president is not a true patriot, but a fragile egomaniac, obsessed with crowd size, and afraid of the embarrassment of throwing a party to which no one wants to attend.
Remember his swearing-in ceremony where he told everyone that it was the greatest gathering in the history of life, and in reality, it was about half of what Obama had.
Well, he put City Hall, the mayor said, free Meek Mill.
That's right. Because City Hall is always open for a celebration. And then you have players, you know, once again, if you're on the other side of this, you know, the president is saying that you are anti the national anthem and that you obviously
anti
don't like
the national anthem.
Well, I mean, that's what he's saying. And he says, and you obviously don't support the troops.
I don't care for that national anthem. I wish they would make it something else.
So Torrey Smith tweeted out, so many lies. Here are some facts. Number one, not many people are going to go. Number two, no one refused to go because Trump insists that folks stand for the anthem. And number three, the president continues to spread the false narrative that players are anti-military. So this is just, it's turned into a cluster F. And this all comes from the owners of the NFL bowing to Donald Trump and this whole new thing that they've put out and punishment and this stupid way that you can stay in the locker room, you can go out of the locker room. It is a cluster F.
It's
and
that insured.
Is what the NFL gets,
all
of these owners, for trying to be dictated what they should do from Donald Trump.
The owners overwhelmingly are in favor of Trump's presidency. That's not a secret. So, you know, you're playing ball with the guy.
But and in the process, you've ensured you can be used as a punching bag whenever he feels like it.
No, sure. But, I mean, it's you've seen how close they are to the president. And obviously, that's in their best interest. And so, they're you know, it's more important in their view to have the support of the president than it is to have the support of your players.
But you do have his support, but then, again, you don't. I mean, I understand Trump's name came up in the room and they wanted to appease him as best they could while still telling the players, well, you know, we kind of feel for you. But now Trump can beat this drum whenever he wants to.
Okay.
And drag the NFL through the mud whenever he wants to.
Let's not get this twisted. Now, I'm for most of my life, I've voted Republican. But I, from day one, couldn't stand Donald Trump. Because if you want to talk about patriotism, if he thinks this is all about America and supporting our troops, this is the same guy who, my uncle was a prisoner of war for 6 years. John McCain was one of his cellmates. He's the same guy that attacked John McCain saying, I like people who weren't captured. Talking about a war hero and says that.
But if he says enough stuff and throws enough stuff at the wall, a lot of people, namely his base, are going to forget about that part of it.
This is not about being patriotic. It has almost nothing to do. It's about him potentially being embarrassed. So I'm breaking up with you before you break up with me,
and I get
America.
And I get to wrap myself in the flag.
Yes, right. and that's exactly what
he's
done.
Rather than just canceling it because you knew it was going to look bad, that you have to throw in the thing. But you know what? He's not stupid.
No,
I mean, it plays to his base.
Not only the contingent that showed up would be all white, which would make him look twice as bad.
And by the way, here's a new tweet. He literally just came out 3 minutes ago for Donald Trump. We will proudly be playing the national anthem and other wonderful music celebrating our country today at 3 p.m. The White House with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Chorus honoring America. NFL, no escaping to locker rooms.
There you go.
Okay, so, well, that's an issue that we can all get behind.
No one from the Eagles knelt during the anthem. Every single one of them the entire season stood for the national anthem, and he's spinning it as if they're anti-national anthem.
Listen, if I want the president to really take care of something, it's if guys that I watch 16 times a year don't take a knee. That's the biggest thing for me, and that's what I want the president getting involved in. So I'm on Lee Greenwood's. he just magically appears. He teleports there.
Right.
Toby Keith rides an American flag there.
Right. It's like, I'm obviously more American than you because, look, I got this whole jumper made out of the flag.
So I can just go to the White House today and the president will be there?
Well, I mean, listen, Johnny Gomes should have been made the Secretary of State immediately. Like, just when he showed up with that jacket, even though that was during Obama's watch, I believe. That was before, that was 13. So, I mean, just show up with wearing, you know, and you know what? Crank a little Brooks and Dunn while you're on your way. You know, maybe some Kid Rock.
So if I want to, I can just go to the White House today and Trump will be there?
Yes, because there'll be wonderful music celebrating our country at 3 p.m. No escaping to locker rooms.
No, but just the average Joe can go to the White House?
I mean, this is what he's tweeting. I'm assuming that's what he means.
I don't think just anyone in off the street. That wouldn't be.
Because I would go if I was in D.C. If you were allowed to go on the White House lawn.
I'd go in a second just to see what it was about.
Sure.
Yeah, not a ceremony, great. But, I mean, I want to chance to stand on the White House lawn?
I mean, how funny is this? So this is a tweet from last night. It was the Philadelphia Eagles football team was invited to the White House. Unfortunately, only a small number of players decided to come, and we canceled the event. Staying in the locker room for the playing of the national anthem is as disrespectful to our country as kneeling. Sorry. What does that have to do with
Donald
the rest
Trump
of it?
Free reign is what you've done, NFL owners.
None of you guys did that.
It doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, you're being, you're not appreciating what's really going on. It's Donald Trump's love of the flag.
Right.
You're being far too cynical. 617-779-0985. Mason, if you would you please put some more information than that's there?
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The NFL has the owners have voted unanimously to approve a new national anthem rule that says if you're not going to stand, stay in the locker room. If you go to the field, you have to stand. If you have a protest, your team's going to get fined. This is the first time you're hearing this. What's your reaction, Mr. President?
Well, I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done.
The Eagles did make that decision that Trump talks about in that statement to send a smaller delegation. What happened was they had conversations amongst their players and their staff the last couple of weeks. There were a lot of ideas being kicked around. Some players said, well, we can all go down as a team. Certain guys can go to the White House. Other guys can go do some things maybe in the community or meet with lawmakers. Or other guys can go sightsee but still make it a team trip, even though not everyone would go to the White House. That was one idea being kicked around. In the end, Jeff Lurie decided that he didn't want to make it a sideshow and wanted to keep this contingent really small. I did not get an exact number, but I was told it wasn't 20, it wasn't 10, it was going to be less than that. Obviously, that decision by the team and by Jeffrey Lurie did not please Donald Trump and the White House.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I like that Jeffrey Lurie did not please him. And Jeffrey Lurie and the rest of the owners have completely screwed their players in terms of their right to protest during these games, because they are, as they, I probably would be too as a billionaire, I would be on Team Trump if that was the case. Now, I was reading this thing on the internet.
Even though, like, you have to deal with all of your players and you have to deal with...
No. I think that that's cowardly, but they're doing it because, you know, they're overwhelmingly in favor of Trump, so they don't want to piss him off.
And instead, they've just pissed off all their employees.
Right. Which is, they think is probably better. And they're probably totally afraid of the PR ramifications.
Sure. And that's the whole reason.
Having guys take a knee. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of reasons.
That's the whole reason. And by the way, I mean, yesterday there was a lot of sources saying that, you know, nobody on the Eagles even took a knee throughout the season. And that is true. However, somebody is pointing out an article that says during the first game of the preseason, apparently there was one player who took a knee.
Okay.
So just to clarify things, which changes everything.
Do we know if that player actually made it
onto
the roster?
Good old Ron Brooks.
Okay.
So did not make the team.
I'm reading this thing that's breaking down the Trump thing. It says, and they're using examples of how is this not patriotic when Baltimore Orioles fans scream O's when the line, oh, say, can you see, or the Capitals fans, like they did tonight, cheer wildly when the word red is mentioned in Rockets' red glare. Is that equally disrespectful? So, there you go. TJ, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Basically, my take on this whole kneeling on the anthem thing is these guys have a platform to, like, kind of basically get their word out, get their message out. And I understand that. I'm a veteran. Like, I served 09 to 15 in the Marine Corps.
Thank you.
So, like, it is what it is. However, I just basically don't understand that basically the whole situation of talking about it constantly just perpetuates the whole argument.
Isn't it true? I mean, this was dead until that whole thing happened where they made this brand new rule for next year. I mean, think about the end of the season. There was nobody kneeling during the playoffs, the Super Bowl.
No, it's a political thing to rally your base. I mean, that's entirely what it is. Yeah. And then, I mean, You know, you're embarrassed as the president that only, I guess, under 10 people are going to show up. So why not use this as an opportunity to rally your base? I mean, it's not dumb by Trump. I mean, this,
it's dishonest.
Yes, of course,
for spinning
it's dishonest.
It and calling these people unpatriotic.
That, do you think that Trump cares at all? Do you think that 2 years ago Trump cared at all if someone stood up for the national anthem or put their hand on their heart? Like you mentioned, he said a bunch of stuff.
Good for him. I mean, he found another way to galvanize his base.
Of course.
He's politicized the national anthem.
No, he's politicized not only that. He's politicized NFL teams and what the reaction to the national anthem is. He's brilliant.
Good. It is.
Because here's the thing, is I can look like a jackass. And you're right, Rich. He's being completely dishonest again. And do you think
I was one of these players, and like publicly, the president was calling me anti-military, I'd be pissed.
It's gonna blow up. Again this season.
What if you're Chris Long? And by the way, I've seen Chris Long's character get questioned. He donated his entire salary to charity this year. I hate having to stick up for the Philadelphia Eagles, but my God, I mean, there's a lot of stand-up guys on the team.
What a dumbass.
We know Chris Law is.
He put his whole salary,
his entire
he can't
salary
play for forever.
Yeah, maybe he's done for doing that.
What a jackass.
But good for him. I mean, it's like, and I've seen him ripped on. As a matter of fact, I saw some, you know, one of these talking heads say, well, we all know why he did that. Tax write-off. Stop trying to look at this guy as a hero.
Well, I'm like, in fairness.
Okay, then nobody give to charity
then.
Well,
no, in fairness. Well, the tax write-off is equal to your salary. It's equal to the money that you give.
I mean, of course. It
Who
was
is that?
Tommy Lahren. It's that girl, the Barbie doll woman.
Barbie doll? I want my money back.
I guess.
The idea that she's so hot is fascinating.
Oh, she's
me.
Cute. I mean, she's cute, but she's, you know, with statements like that, it doesn't seem like the brightest bulb on the board.
I guess that it's not a huge.
And that's the thing.
There's so many good-looking girls on Fox, and she's pointed out as being
well,
the good
whatever
one.
You think about, you know, the end, I don't think that's the part. It's the whole fact that he knew, he found out there were going to be 10 people who are going to show up, none of them black, according to Adam Schefter, and he knew it was going to look awful. And so he goes, well, you know what? They hate the flag and
of
they
course.
Hate America. So you are going to, you know what? Then we're going to do something instead that's so American and so awesomely military that we're going to have the naval thing.
Of course. That's obvious. He took something. He took lemons and made it into lemonade. I mean, that's what he did. It would have been embarrassing as hell.
It turned into lemonade.
It took lemons.
It was turned into urine. It's like I'm going to make sure that I stain
no,
what he
the sees
reputation.
Is lemonade.
No,
what in reality,
says,
sure.
What his base sees is lemonade.
Yeah,
sweet, sweet lemonade. By the way, if you're ever out there, how about a Minute Maid? I'm pulling for an endorsement. Colin, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you going?
Hey,
how
what's up, Colin? How you doing?
Good. So I know, unfortunately, this thing is going to be, if you're going to try to legally appeal this thing, it's going to be tough because, of course, the NFL is a private organization. So
right.
If you start talking about the First Amendment, it's like, well, it's a private organization, kind of like the Roseanne thing. It can do what
That's
it
true. Yes, absolutely.
So as shady as I feel about it, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, illegally, not a whole lot.
No, it's perfectly within the rights of the NFL to demand that their players stand during the national anthem. It is.
Yeah, and then also, this other thing, too, and it's just starting to really grate on me. I mean, I've been a serviceman for 15 years and running, and it's just, but you know what? It's just troops are just props now. That's all we are. That's all we're good for, I guess, now. I mean, we've got somebody who's too cowardly to even think about putting on a uniform, and then most of the population doesn't even really care anyway. So, you know, it just doesn't surprise me. This whole, oh, well, if you don't like the anthem, then you're anti-troops. It's like, you know, has anyone ever asked servicemen? Does anyone even bother?
No.
Well, I mean,
and that's it. No, of
it
course,
it doesn't
not.
Suit his purpose.
Because
so why
it's not because it because as you know, it has nothing to do with the military at this point. It has to do with it's
him looking bad.
Him looking bad and turning it into something that makes him look good.
Yeah,
you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But I think the thing is, it's just become so disheartening.
Of course.
Like I said, and it's usually from people who would never even think of putting on a uniform.
Right.
You know what? There's a word for them. Cowards.
Right. Well, there you go.
Well, thank you for your service, Colin. I mean, it's It is amazing, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing the video of what they replace the visit with.
Oh, that's easy.
Because
I can tell you that.
If there aren't at least 40 flags, like everywhere I look, like gigantic ones.
With Trump, after making a statement, standing next to the podium with his hand on his heart, and I don't know if they'll have pyros. That might even be over the top for him.
They are,
but in a WWE presidency, it's always possible.
They are flying in David Allen Coe. And I'm sure
that would be rather divisive.
Well, you wouldn't say.
He went through his huge racism period.
And Three Doors Down as we speak, they're all showing up.
Three Doors Down has got to get in the van pretty quick, though, if they're going to get there. Jeff, go ahead.
So one thing that I'm curious about is that, you know, all the owners up in arms about the kneeling during the national anthem, everything like that, but do the concession stands still sell stuff during the national anthem? Does the pro shop, are the employees still ringing people out at the cash register?
I believe they are, yeah.
What if I haven't made it back to my seat by the time the national anthem starts?
Or
what
you're an American.
Yeah, what if I'm you know, walking into the stadium when the national anthem starts? There's a bunch. Now it's a powder keg.
That's disrespectful.
Well, now it's a powder keg.
For the anthem. Yeah.
Now people are going to come up and hit you in the face if you're out with nachos.
Now, if you're not in, but you can hear it being played, you have to stand at attention in the hallway.
Imagine being in a urinal.
Oh, man. That would be tricky. Yeah.
You got only one hand to work with.
Right.
So to take off your hat and to put your hand on your heart, and then you're spraying everywhere.
Well, we now take you to 3 o'clock at the White House lawn.
We'll put a bullet in your ass. It's the American way.
Toby Keith.
Trump has always been a huge
things down.
Toby Keith fan. All right.
Kerry Toki's parachuting in, shooting fireworks left and right. Not American enough. We need more America.
Well, the military used to pay the NFL for flyovers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
They paid the NFL. It was like a commercial.
Where's Kid Rock? Can he launch some of those foreign-made grills into the air and we can shoot them with American-made guns?
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Kid Rock decided he was like super patriot right when he saw the rap rock thing start falling apart. Kyle Draper will join us. He, of course, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We will have him on. Here are the headlines.
Yeah, one more question for Isaiah 2. What is the name of this alien? Do you know the name of that alien?
Guys, I've watched that numerous times, too. I'm like the Cavs. I'm going to get swept.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is Isaiah Thomas from the Lakers. He was sitting with Isaiah Thomas, formerly of the Pistons and destroyer of leagues and destroyer
teams.
Of teams.
Destroyer of teams, yes.
I forgot about the CBA, too. About that.
Yeah.
They single-handedly destroyed that entire thing.
Yeah. They made him commissioner.
Yeah.
And everyone was so up in arms when Davidson made Dumars the president of the Pistons instead of Isaiah Thomas. And apparently Davidson knew what he was doing. Kyle Draper covers the Boston Celtics and so much else over there at NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Mr. Draper.
What's up, fellas? How are you today?
I apparently have been told that you were a member of a certain media basketball game. All the people who cover the Boston Celtics, and at the very end of the game, I guess you were fouled taking a three-point shot because your team was down by two, and you were given three shots to win it. How'd that go?
I thought I was on here to talk about the Celtics.
It turned out pretty good?
No, I let my team down. I choked big time.
All right. Well,
at least I could be honest about it, right? I'm not J.R. Smith trying to forgot what happened or anything like that. I missed the first two free throws, and we lost by one.
Give me the pendulum of the scale of the people in the media. Like, who was, surprisingly excellent, and who was just atrocious?
Let's see. I mean, everybody was atrocious. Let's be honest. I mean, we're in the media for a reason, right? We're not playing. We're in the media. Jay King of The Athletic, he has a little basketball background. He could shoot the ball. Outside of that, I think the rest of us were pretty terrible, man. Let's be honest. I don't think anybody else was good.
But the building you're playing in is very impressive. And when you get the likes of our own Rick Radzik on the court, who I don't think has ever been on the air here, I mean, I'll tell you what, that is something to see.
Hey, a legend down there from what I hear. You know, he has a basketball background. And so I felt bad for him because this was sort of like his return home almost. And we should have fed him the rock.
Yeah, very selfish play I'm seeing here.
All right, so let's just start with Marcus Smart, because that's the big question of the offseason, what they're going to do with him. Is there a market for him right now for the $12 to $14 million that he so wants? Is there any other team out there that will give him that kind of money and take him from the Celtics?
I don't know. You got to look at the cap situation, but I've heard of a couple of teams that may be interested in Marcus. A team like Orlando, I heard, might be interested. Indiana. You know, if you picture Marcus and like a Victor Oladipo together, that kind of backward. I know they have Collison, but I heard Indiana might be interested. Or maybe even a Brooklyn Nets kind of team also. And so I don't know about that $12 to $14 million range. I think 12 is 12, 13, maybe more like it. I think that's what the Celtics would be okay with. Anything more than that, if Orlando offers them $15 million, I mean, if you're Boston, what are you going to do, you know? And so I think there's a handful of teams, you know, 3 to 4 teams maybe, but the question is, at what price, right?
Yeah, how high does Danny go to match? If somebody comes to them with an offer, what do you think the limit is for what Danny's going to be willing to go to keep Marcus Smart?
I think 12 to 13 million. And the thing that's messed up is when you look at their cap situation going forward, you're going to have Gordon Hayward at $30 million, Al Horford close to $30 million. Then Kyrie's going to come up as well, and he's like a $35 million guy. And if you throw Marcus Smart's $13, $14 million, you're talking, you know, $110 million just with four players. I mean, that's outrageous money. But the Celtics say they'll go above the cap and they'll get into the tax. But I think 12 to 13 is the number for Marcus.
Even though it doesn't concern you that he can't score.
No, I mean, you know, when you look at it, there are other guys who can't score that's making a whole lot more than that. We look at Evan Turner, we look at Tristan Thompson, and I think Marcus Smart gives you something that you just don't have on your team, a guy that's going to go out there and make impact plays. I mean, the way he plays defense, the way he hustles. And he's gotten better offensively running the pick-and-roll game with Al Horford. And so, you know, I think $12 million is fair for Marcus, 12 to 13 million.
You look at the way NBA teams are spending now. I guess the cap is around 100, 101 million, Kyle, somewhere in there. And Cleveland and Golden State are both well into the tax. I think both of them are spending about $140 million. So if you're going to keep a core group of players together, what we've learned is you're going to have to spend using bird rights or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at the upper echelon teams, and Houston's about to be facing that too with Clint Capella, Chris Paul, and then do they go out and try to get somebody else? But, you know, the thing with Cleveland, you guys bring that up, and their cap situation is atrocious. They just spent it on bad players. I mean, you got George Hill making $19 million. J.R. Smith making 14 plus. Thompson 17. And so we're seeing now with Cleveland, they have no flexibility because of their cap situation. I know the Celtics don't want to get into that, but when you have the current roster that they have that can actually compete for a championship and still trending upwards, I think you're willing to, you know, get into that kind of tax jail.
I heard Mike Gorman say something yesterday on a podcast. I think it was for CLNS. I want to get it right, but I forget what the name of the who was doing it. But he was saying that they asked, like, who's untouchable, you know, or Danny Ainge. And even Danny Ainge on our show was talking about nobody's irreplaceable on this roster.
When discussing Marcus Smart,
but he still made that statement. But the discussion was about Kyrie Irving and just how untouchable he would be on this team. And Mike Gorman, not really trying to come out with a hot take, was saying, no, I even think that he is somebody, if it was for the right piece, could be traded. And he obviously talked about Anthony Davis. This is a weird situation that the Celtics are in, because you kind of got to find out where Kyrie Irving's head is at. He's only got one more year left, and then we don't really know what's going to happen after that. Has there been any indication that you've known of that he wants to stay here? And what do you think about his ability to be moved here in the offseason and what Danny thinks of him?
I mean, I've just heard Kyrie talk about how much he loves the organization and the history and playing in Boston. I haven't heard him say, you know, definitely want to re-sign here or anything like that. And I haven't heard the organization say that they want to move on from him. I'm at the point now where, all right, you got a championship caliber team when everybody comes back healthy. I don't want them to mess with it. You know, that's just me. I mean, we're going into the next season fired up about, you know, the possibilities. LeBron may go somewhere else. The East is wide open for the Celtics. And so I don't want to see them make a move. With that being said, I agree with Mike. Nobody's untouchable. If Golden State offered, you know, Steph Curry straight up for Kyrie or something like that, or Kawhi Leonard or whoever, I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, you got to take that call and think about it. And so, you know, once Danny traded KG and Pierce, and I know those guys were on the downside of their careers, but, you know, your loyalty to a player, your fondness for a player when it comes to Danny Ainge, all that's out of the window. It's all about business. And he feels like that'll improve the team. He'll make the move.
All right, what do you think about Colangelo's situation and how that relates to LeBron James?
Well, it's interesting because I don't think LeBron, and I'm pretty safe in saying this, has the best relationship with Dan Gilbert, right?
Right.
So I don't think he would want to go somewhere else and start off with another sort of bad relationship. And so it's imperative, if the Sixers really think they have a shot, that they need to get rid of Colangelo. And, you know, I don't, not even for LeBron's sake, just for Embiid and Simmons and those guys already in the organization. How can they go to work every day and look at this guy? And I know the checks are good and all that, but, I mean, this shows to me that you're a dysfunctional franchise if you keep this guy around. It will scare off free agents.
And, Kyle, I think that also adds an extra incentive to LeBron James. If they get rid of Colangelo, they could say to LeBron, hey, and not only do we want you as a player, we want your input as who you'd want as a GM. Because I know there's a couple guys that he's played favorites with. Didn't you say, who's the ex-player that LeBron apparently wants as a GM that he's been...
Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey Billups. Yeah, right. Billups, and there's another guy too. So don't you think that that's also an extra chip in order to get him to come to your team? If you get rid of him, say you have somewhat of a choice as to who you get to have be your GM.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what about David Griffin also?
Former
Cavs GM, he's out there. And LeBron, you know, has a likeness for him. And that's why I've always said LeBron is like the most important and the most powerful athlete we've ever seen. I mean, this guy can truly handpick GMs, coaches, players. It's like he's running a team, right? And if you're the Sixers and you have a chance to get LeBron, you got to listen to him, right? If he says, bring this guy in, you got to think about it. And so I don't think the Sixers are completely out of the mix, but if they keep Colangelo, they will be.
All right, finally, Kyle, why the hell is Kendrick Perkins sitting right in the middle of the bench in his suit for the Cavaliers when he's not playing and apparently is like the guy causing all sorts of crap between Drake, between Steph Curry, between Draymond Green? Why is he where he is on that bench?
Hey, who on that team is going to tell Kendrick Perkins he needs to move?
That's a good point.
Nobody. Hey, you think Kyle Korver or George Hill or Rodney Hood is going to say, nah, Kendrick, slide down. That's my seat. The only person that could do that is LeBron, and clearly LeBron has no problem with it. I'm surprised we haven't seen Kendrick Perkins dress for one game just to deliver some sort of muscle, you know, put Draymond Green in his place or something, put Marcus Morris last series in his place. I mean, Draymond is taunting him on the sidelines there, calling him a cheerleader, saying he has his pom-poms. And, man, I know Perk isn't the same guy that we saw back in the day, but to me, he's still intimidating.
Yeah, maybe game four when the Cavs are getting blown out. It's about to be a sweep. Just have him go in there and just start poking Draymond in the eye, just taking out kneecaps.
Exactly. You know, that goon that comes off the
bench. Yeah, take Draymond Green's eye out, and you're missing a testicle by the end of the game.
That's a good point. He's known to kick the foot in the area that you don't want to.
All right, Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston, thanks so much for the time.
All right, guys, thanks.
Appreciate it. We will be right back, and today is a very special day for the show. We'll explain why.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online, 98.5, thesportshub.com. We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. .985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and remember, the .985 The Sports Hub app is available in iTunes in their store or at Google Play. Very nice app. You can see all the, listen to all the podcasts. You can hear the station live.
Is there any, okay, so Apple, I think it was Apple, they just announced that they're going to do a new program for FaceTime where you can FaceTime with multiple people at the same time. Is there anybody that you know that uses Scott that uses FaceTime other than Scott Zolak?
I use FaceTime when I'm out of town to talk to my kids.
Talk to your okay, everyone's willing to do that. I'm talking about other than like just seeing your kids. Is there anybody that you know that uses their number one device, their number one means of connecting with you, FaceTime, other than Scott Zolak?
Yes.
Who?
Actually, family. My sister's overseas.
No, other than family. Like, I'm talking about family. Outside of family. Is there anybody that you know that uses that as their primary means of connecting with you?
No. You get online, and then you get a nice number, and then you can have a mutual sesh FaceTime.
But, I mean, Scott Zolak, there's times he just says, like, FaceTime request, and I'm like, I'm kind of on the toilet right now. And then I realize, well, Scott probably is, too. You know, he's done that before. He's FaceTime. He's FaceTiming from the toilet before, right?
No, I don't think so. He's FaceTimed me from laying on a pool table. He has FaceTime for me. We have an intern, and he is just sitting right in that room.
Was he shirtless?
No, look at the intern. Okay. He's just sitting in that room.
We have an intern
right at us.
For the first time since, well, I don't know.
He's been observed from the corner.
At least three or 4 years.
Yes. Fred, I will give you.
Hey, we had an intern last summer.
Did we?
Didn't he go to the stupid school you went to, John?
Yeah. A stupid school?
Yes. He went to Hobart.
Did he?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Came in with the R.J. Hunter jersey.
R.J. Hunter jersey guy.
Yeah, I remember that kid.
That's right.
But in all seriousness, can he move a little bit every time I look at Dan?
Wait, maybe he went to that other stupid school you were. You went to Bryant.
Not a stupid school.
Can we just jettison him so he can watch? He should, you know, from a place where if every time I look at you, he's not staring.
Fred,
at me.
I will give you, I mean, I'll give you $1 zillion if you can give me his name right now.
Oh, well, here's your $1 zillion.
All right, well, apparently.
Rich didn't know either, Fred.
I asked him.
You did.
But I made the effort to ask him. What did I say to him? I said, I'm never going to ask you again.
Scott Zolak just FaceTimed me.
See if he's shirtless driving.
Yeah.
All right, so no one's doing anything about this kid.
But you like actually want him physically moved so he's not in your line of sight?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that.
Of course you do.
I totally understand that.
Well, then are you going to have a situation?
No one's doing anything.
That'll give the opportunity to do this.
Robbie, I think he actually physically wants you to move.
No, he wasn't kidding, Robbie. He wants you to move. All right, there you go.
Well, at least God's it's...
all like FaceTiming.
Is he FaceTiming you again? Well, of course.
You can always have him look around the corner.
At least it's not a situation like the intern that Zolak and Bertrand had, who would come in early and...
Hello!
He would just peek his head in always.
I know.
Is it me?
Hello?
We just kept doing that, and the kid had no idea what was going on.
You can put the intern somewhere where he can watch you run the board and everything, but just not directly behind
move
you.
Move him in front of the printer. That way he can see me and John and just not Fred.
That's okay, a good idea. You know? That's a good idea.
And then every once in a while, you know. That was the best because, like, he would peek his head in, and that was the code for when he was doing that, and we would never tell anyone why we were playing that.
Yeah.
It's because we were getting a little creepy look from the other side.
But the way he did it was funny because he would just emerge from, like, the side.
Hello! I was just about to hello!
Like, he wouldn't just, like, walk up behind Dan. He would be, like, in the corner, and then he would slowly slide his head.
It's me.
It was like, Paul Stanley on the hamper. Hi, guys.
I think the kid asked me, why do they do that? I don't know.
All right.
Just like Adele.
You say yes.
I say hello.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast with the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. It's back, baby.